Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to Within the Light podcast, where we enter deep portals of the mind through conscious conversation and authenticity, while always remaining within the light. I'm your host, Ashley Moselle. On today's episode, we're going to delve into a bit of my background and my journey, why I decided to start this podcast, and what this platform is truly going to be about and what it's going to bring. I grew up in a small town in northern Minnesota, literally like 2 hours from the border of Canada. And it was different, very different than my situation now. I live in Southern California now. And I just really knew that that's what I needed when I was growing up, looking back. I grew up very slow, you know, everything was very slow moving. And there was a lot of time for connection. I was born in 85, so I kind of ride that cusp of being a millennial, but also not growing up in the cell phone era until about my, you know, late teens, early 20s was when they kind of became more of a popular thing. And I think that really changes a person, you know, it changes who you are if you talk to somebody who has grown up with technology or hasn't. And I think that when you have nothing else to do, when you're just quite frankly bored, you tap in a lot and you just naturally are with yourself more and you naturally connect with people more. And I grew up in a place where there were less people. So you naturally gravitate towards, you know, smaller groups and more intimate conversations. And a lot of the time people are very much, you know, in your business, air quotes. So, you know, there's a lot of involvement of everybody else's life within your life. Everybody's kind of intertwined there. And it's interesting because when I go back, as separated as everybody is now, the people that are still living there from when I was growing up, it still has that feeling, you know, that feeling of connection. And I like that about it. I love going back and connecting back into that feeling. As much as I was irritated growing up there, I really respect it looking back in hindsight. And I think that's, you know, of course, what life teaches us sometimes. And so I grew up, like I said, in northern Minnesota, and the winters were really cold and there wasn't a lot to do. And I graduated with 63 people and I connected really closely with quite a few people growing up, a few people that I still stay in contact with. And I grew a lot, you know. My parents divorced when I was 7 years old. I'm one of three. I'm the oldest. My youngest sister, I have a brother and a sister. My brother's 4 years younger. We have the same dad. My parents divorced when I was seven. And my mom remarried and had my sister when I was 16. So she's our youngest sister, my brother Blake and I. It's Blake, Aubrey, and myself. And we're really close. We don't talk a lot now. We're very, you know, we have our own lives going on. We're very independent. However, we're very close. When we get together, we have a connection that is undeniable and has always been there. And my dad, he is a solo rider. You know, he grew up on a farm in Nebraska. And he's always been, you know, doing his thing on his own for the longest time. He's had a few women that have come in and out of his life, but for the most part, he does his thing. And I really appreciate how he raised my brother and I because we have this connection to nature now because we just appreciate it all on the North Shore. And it was just so beautiful. At the time, we had our moments of, you know, irritation and complaining, and we would just get so, can we just go do something like play mini golf or go to a park? And then as I got older, I always wanted to go back because it was just this craving of that connection to nature and quiet. And as much as we like to be connected to the collective, it's really hard sometimes to have all of that energy kind of coming at you. So it was a beautiful way for us to really just go off the grid, no running water, no electricity. And in the winter times, we would literally have to, you know, go up this quarter of a mile hill hike. Sometimes at like, you know, past, it was like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, and it was dark then, you know, daylight saving. And my brother was still in diapers when, you know, the youngest that we were going up there. And my dad would pull him in the sled. It was just, it was so crazy, like if you look back on it. But it was what we did, and it was fun. You know, we enjoyed, looking back, we enjoy all those memories. And we would get into the cabin finally, and it would be freezing cold. So my dad would start up the fire, and we would basically, you know, move around as much as we could, move all of our limbs, warming everything up, and just getting into this space of warmth. And we would wait until we got there, and eventually it would get blazing hot, and we'd take off, you know, layers. And it was just, it was a, everything took more time, and everything was more present, and it was really cool. You know, I loved growing up that way. And eventually when I got into my teens, I would, you know, my brother and my dad would do guy things, and I would just go sit in my dad's deer stand, or I would go on nature walks, or I did a lot of things on my own. I've always been pretty independent, even from a baby. So I would go out and do things, and I, you know, didn't know it at the time, but I was kind of developing my own type of meditation. And meditation comes in many forms. So for, you know, for those of you that meditate, you obviously know that you could just go on a nature walk and just kind of try to just focus on nature and not focus on anything else going on in your mind, because our minds can definitely try and master us if we allow them to. And so it was one of those things where I was able to really disconnect. And again, like looking back in hindsight, I always wanted to go up there when I was getting older, because I realized the value of that. And as I did get older, of course, I got busy being a teenager and going through life in that way. And quite frankly, I always felt different. You know, I always felt kind of like the black sheep of my family. My family in general were kind of a bunch of black sheeps, but I did feel a little bit black sheep-ish when I would go back to family things after I'd moved away. But they were always, of course, accepting. But we grew up really close. You know, all of us were always so intertwined. And I just love my family so much. I grew up with my mom's side of the family being within, you know, 5 mile radius, like basically all of them. So it was really cool in that way, too. Just growing up with all of that family around, it felt very, I would say, like equate it to like a Hispanic family or like a New York family, like just having like that closeness of really being there for each other. And it was beautiful. So I loved that. And I go back and I have that same feeling. We get together and we play board games. We do all the things that you do when you, you know, have those long winters and you just connect. And we have a good time. And so, again, going back like to my teenage years, it was a little hard for me sometimes because I felt so different. I always had this kind of spiritual way, I guess, of wanting to attune to. And just like I didn't grow up with a religious background, so I was always trying to figure that out. And I even bought like books on astrology, and I still follow astrology very closely and have actually dissected it even more since then and follow it as a tool and really, really appreciate it actually. And I'll be talking about that as well in one of my future solo casts and probably a lot with other people that I interview. But yeah, so I bought a lot of books on astrology and, like I said, just different types of religion I looked into, and I would go to different churches with my friends. I went to Catholic church, I went to Lutheran church, I went to non-denominational churches. It was fun to have that variety and not to have like a structure that I had to follow from a young age. I really appreciated it. And, you know, I even bought books on like Wiccan. I was super interested in basically anything. And going back into astrology, if I looked into my chart later on in life, I know I'm a Sagittarius moon, which means, you know, you're just really into like, you know, that cultural, that worldly, like language and religion, all of that kind of stuff ties into that. So it makes sense that in my years of developing that emotional side of myself, I was interested in religion, especially because, like I said, I hadn't had a structural way of looking at things from my parents. And they did that on purpose. I found that out later on in life that they had discussed it and they didn't want to, you know, because both of my parents did grow up with a religious background of some sort, different backgrounds, the two of them separate. But it was, you know, for them, it was a conscious choice to allow my brother and I to make our own decision in that way. So I appreciate that and have always been grateful for that. And not in any way that I don't appreciate religion, because I really do. It's just knowing myself, I really like having that free will to kind of choose what works for me and works for my system personally. So going through high school, I had some, you know, some harder times of just figuring out who I was. I was trying not to be reactive to things. And again, like everybody was really close. So everybody was kind of dramatic and in each other's business and fighting and it was and drinking and just it was a lot, but it was a lot of learning. And I think looking back, all of us kind of we grew really fast because of that. At least I can say that for myself. So I think I've talked to my friends that have gone through that with me, and I think we can all kind of agree that we've gone through a lot for being in a tiny little town in northern Minnesota. So it cracks me up when I you know, because life is funny in that way. So, but yeah, so I kind of went through my teen years of figuring out who I was. I loved being independent. I loved just kind of talking to people, having those like one-on-one conversations and learning about emotional intelligence and learning about who I was within all of that and this small town and what I wanted to do and all of the things that you go through as a teenager, you know. And within that, I really kind of developed this this need of wanting to be a psychologist or something within the psychology department when I wanted to go into my future studies. So that was what I always wanted to do. I always talked about that. And I actually pulled out my old yearbook the other day and my senior quote, you know, you write down your things of where you see yourself in 10 years or whatever. And mine was like psychoanalyzing people or something like that with like kids and a husband, like a bunch of babies. Like everybody kind of wrote the same thing, which is super funny. But the psychoanalyzing people is like something I literally like. I mean, maybe not in that same verbiage, but I definitely love, love, love those conversations that you have with people when you just learn so much about who they are and like their rawness, you know, like that is literally what I live for. And so it was interesting because I was going through my teens and I found my hairstylist when I was like 15, 16. My mom and I went to the same woman and she was super cool. And she had gone to Aveda, which is like this super high-end thing for, you know, Chisholm, Minnesota. But we decided like, you know, my mom and I, and then also my hairstylist and I, that I was going to go to hair school because, you know, I wasn't like amazing at school. I'm a visual learner. And I learned later on in life after I got into hair that I became an educator for a hot second. And I learned that I personally am a visual learner and there are like different types of ways of learning. And you just, once you learn what type of learner that you are, you can figure out, you know, what works the best for you. Like, for example, you could repeat something to me multiple times and maybe I'll gather the words and I'll digest the words because I love words. I'm a word person. But I won't necessarily like take it in like I'm going to learn it. It's just like maybe I can recite it back to you. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to like perform the action of it. Like if, say, you're teaching me algebra or you're teaching me how to build a clock. Multiple things that go on within high school, like home ec class, like you name it. Like I have to visually see it. Like I love photos. I love getting my hands in something. And I also learned over time that I'm actually a slow learner. But once I learn something, I don't forget it. So it's like one of those things where I have a very like picturesque kind of memory or like photographic memory, as you, if you will. But over time, I learned that it might take me, especially with technology stuff, it takes me a while. But once I learn it, like it's a steel trap, you know, it's up there forever. And once you kind of learn the way that you learn, then you understand things and you don't feel so, you know, stupid looking back, if you will. Because I'm not saying I look I feel stupid, but it's just one of those things where, you know, you're an angsty teenager and you're beating yourself up. So you look back and you just want to figure things out. And so that's where I was at with that. And again, like my hairstylist, and I talked to my mom about it. She was really supportive and decided to go to hair school. And I decided to go down to Aveda, which was in Minneapolis. It was the original school, which was really rad. It was one of those things where I felt like I was doing something that was in alignment with everything that I'd always wanted to do. You know, like, again, I loved having conversations. I like storytelling. I love being creative. That was something that's always been a part of me, whether it was writing or, you know, drawing or just creating anything I could. I love being resourceful, things of that nature. So I decided to go to Aveda, and my dad at that time had already moved down to Minneapolis, so I decided to just go live with him and get a job because I wasn't able to get in right away because I decided kind of last minute, very spontaneous person. So I decided to go, and they were a really well-renowned school, especially at the time because, or I should say, they are a really well-renowned school, especially at the time, because there were only three schools in the world and Horace still owned the company and it didn't, you know, get taken over by Estee Lauder. Whole different story. But yeah, there was a whole different situation going on. It was really unique and the culture felt really fresh and everybody was just serious about doing hair and about this industry, but they weren't, how do you say, taking themselves too seriously within that. It was a really fun way of learning. I enjoyed it a lot, and I refer to my teachers a lot in my head when I'm working, and it's really cool looking back as well. And I met a lot of really cool people along the way. And the cool thing about that, again, like knowing that there were only three schools in the world at the time, you know, people came from all over the states to come to that specific school. So I met people from all over, and I actually currently work, you know, fast forward to almost doing this for 15 years. I currently work for a girlfriend of mine that I went to school with. She was in the Estheology program, and her roommate at the time was my classmate. So we went to we were in hair school together, and then Krista is her name. She and I were friends through Jordan, who was in my hair class. And so it's interesting how that all works out and all those connections within my industry have happened throughout my life. And as I go along within this, you guys will see that, you know, a lot of those connections have been made through my hair career, which is also why I'm so grateful for it. And why I'm grateful that my, you know, my hairstylist when I was 15 told me, you need to just go to hair school, girl. You know, she was just getting real with me. And that's what I do now behind the chair. So it's so beautiful. And it's something that, again, I'm just really grateful for. I'm grateful for that guidance that I had back then of someone just randomly telling me. I mean, granted, she knew me. I told her all my things. I was like, I feel so comfortable telling my hairstylist all of my things, you know, when she asked me the questions. And I just felt like she was like my quasi-therapist. So, and I always felt so good. Of course, when you get your hair fresh, you know, you leave. And I just wanted to create that for people. I always loved hairstylists in movies. Like, oddly enough, I always like would look at a hairstylist and be like, that girl's so fun, you know. And I looked up to the creativity of it and the uniqueness of it, you know, the expression that you see. Especially whenever you go to, you know, these hair shows and you get to see all of these hairstylists from all over the world. And so my hair career went into, like I said, I went to Aveda and then I decided I wanted to be a color specialist. So I specialized in color for the first 5 years of my career. I worked for a majority of those years, I want to say like 2.5, 3 years. Assisting. So I was really doing that extensive learning and I loved that. I felt very comfortable when I was actually going onto the floor with what I was doing with the chemicals and I think that when you go to school for 10 and a half months, 10 and a half months, like you're not really fully learning everything you need to know because you don't have that experience. I mean, we were jam-packed with clients working at Aveda. I say working because we were working even though we were going to school, but you're working, you know, you're on the floor. And I think whenever you're going through that, you're looking back, you're like, I had all the experience I could have possibly had. Like you're literally booked all day long. And so, I mean, you couldn't get anything more than what you had gotten. But in Minnesota, it was 1,550 hours to get your license. So that's what I did. I went through my career, I went through my training and got to my career point with that, you know, 1,550 hours of training. And then I decided I wanted to assist. So I did that for, like I said, 5 years. I worked for a couple of really fun Russian guys and learned some Russian and decided I wanted to do something different. Was guided and lining up with a company called Lonza. And I decided to go to another salon and I didn't want to specialize anymore because I was realizing that I liked the full healing experience of doing all of the service. So I wanted to do cutting again. And so I was guided to work for a really, really amazing creative director for Lonza. And so I was working for him and I worked for him for about a year and a half. And then I went on the floor myself and really was just perfecting my craft and getting into my own and honing in on what I wanted to do within my journey in hair. And then something started to shift. You know, I at that point, I was visiting California every year and I was falling more and more in love with it and feeling more aligned with it. I thought about it for about 6 years and decided to move out to California. So that is where I reside now. And I am working in Cardiff, which is in Encinitas. It's like a North County situation. It's in North County, California. And my boyfriend and I live up here, and I just absolutely love living in Southern California, especially being a girl, like I said, from the freezing cold. It's such a breath of fresh air. Of course, I miss the snow, but that's where I'm at now. And I guess leading up to this point, the reason why I really, really wanted to start this podcast and what is leading into all of this is all of these conversations I've had, like I said, growing up in a small town and connecting with people on a deeper level, just because that is really just what you did. And then on top of that, being a hairstylist for, like I said, almost 15 years. So that just builds all of these relationships and also moving from one really different state to another very different state, like Minnesota and California, you know, very opposing states, like in a sense of the energy. There's a lot of very similar artistic vibes going on. However, the way that you approach hair is very different. And also just the conversations you have, of course, everything's very different. So culturally, demographically, all of the above. And so a lot of that was shifting and also coming into my energy field and connecting with people who I really, really could kind of be myself with, if you will, in California. So that was very different for me, connecting with people that actually understood my language. And I don't mean that in any way other than the fact that I really want to talk about, you know, spiritual, deep things, why we're here, purpose. I also want to talk about the dark, heavy stuff. You know, I want to talk about why the light and the dark are one and the same, and we need them both. We need the ego, but we also need to have this place of awareness. You know, there's all these things that are made up of us that we truly need, and I love having these types of conversations. And when you're doing something as vulnerable as hair, you really get to know people on a different level, and people really open up to you. I mean, if I'm being honest, like people will sit down before they've even really gotten to know you at all for the very first time and just share their life story with you. And I love that. And I don't take it lightly. I think it's such a big responsibility for me to take that story and to, again, just take that responsibility in of how I'm going to respond, you know, and to be a good listener and to develop those skills over time of what that truly means to be creating that space for people. And I love that about it. I love that it's ever evolving, and I'm ever evolving. We're all human. We're all ever evolving. And we learn every day, sometimes through conversation, but sometimes just, you know, again, through our own experiences. So with that, I wanted to pose a couple of questions. What makes you feel your most authentic? What has assisted you in finding that authenticity? What's assisted you in that? These are the type of questions that I love to dissect in myself and in others. And whether I'm actually literally asking that question or we just get there somehow, it seems to come up this idea of just being real, you know, just being unique, being you in that moment and what that means. And I think, again, when you come into these conversations and somebody actually feels that comfortability to be able to be vulnerable, it creates this whole other space and this whole other world for the two of you or the three of you, you know, that setting. And these are conversations that I've had throughout my life. And I thrive on the uniqueness. I think that every single human being truly does have a story. And my definition, at least in this moment, of authenticity is to truly take myself, every piece of myself, and allow all of those aspects to be here with me. And what I mean by that is whether I'm feeling shame or whether I'm feeling joy, whether I'm feeling tired, groggy, anxiety, love, having all of these emotions and feeling them all at once and getting them all in the space of awareness within myself and just literally observing them. That's authenticity to me. It's observing all aspects of yourself and accepting all of them. Just accepting everything about it. And I love when you see it in other people. You see that I don't know, it's almost like a, I don't want to say spark in their eye, but you see this glow about them when they're just in it. And I thrive on finding that within people and finding those types of conversations within my life where you see somebody where they're just in their purpose, in their dharma. And that's, to me, that's authenticity. I think that that's the alignment that we're all kind of thriving for and hoping to become a daily practice once we achieve what that feels like. I think that that daily practice can be so unique to every person. And I think that that's what we have to accept is that non-judgment state of mind, you know, accepting that. You know, what is in alignment for me isn't necessarily in alignment for someone else. And I can take that and just accept this is what's working for me right now. And it's helping me to feel like I'm moving forward, even if I need to sit still for a second. You know, maybe I need to process, or maybe I need to move forward, or maybe I have energy that needs to be creatively put out. You know, like you have to check in with yourself and know what that means to you. And only you know that. You're learning as you go along, but at the end of the day, you are the only one that can really, truly figure that out for yourself. And I think when you have these conversations, and a lot of the conversations that I really want to bring into this podcast, you learn a lot about yourself. A lot of the time you say these things out loud, and what that truly means is a mirror. You know, you're mirroring what you need to hear just as much as that person needs to hear it. And maybe you know what you're saying and you've experienced it and you've learned, but the fact that you're saying it out loud is you're in that experience with that other person then. So you are a part of it. And I truly believe in oneness, so we're all connected. And especially when you're in that, again, intimate space of conversation, you really are in that oneness. And you really are in that present moment. And that is literally why I decided to do this as well. I love having conversations with people where there are no distractions, where you know I have this 1 hour of time and I'm not going to have anything in the background. I'm not going to have anything around me. It's going to be a sacred space, a present space for us to just have a chat. That is exactly what I'm all about. I love when people can just stay in it and they don't get distracted. And those are my conversations I'm all about in life with my friends, with my people. We get into it and like some crazy things could be going on around us, but we're just in it, you know, and like nothing can pull us out of it. That is what I'm all about in life, is having these kinds of conversations. And so I'm going to be bringing a lot of that into this, and a lot of really interesting, unique people that I've met, people I love, people that I haven't met, people that I've already met, a good variety for all of you to enjoy. So I'll be doing some solo casts and then I'll be doing interview style just so you have a good variety, and I'll be interactive with you along the way so we can make sure that everything is being tailored to what we all need in this journey of alignment together. Because I really want that to be what it's about, is like a collaboration of all of us in this oneness together and us taking this space and this time to really just be with each other. And again, creating that space. I love when you can be in that heart chakra and just expand together and connect and just truly feel that on a molecular level, really. You feel that kind of lightness that happens when you listen to something or when you feel connected to something that is just like, oh, like you connect in and all of your cells are there with you. So I think that that's what, again, that's where you feel that alignment. And again, I want to bring in genuine conversations, and sometimes I want to bring in opposing viewpoints, expansion of the mind, you know, things where one person could feel one way, but another person could, of course, feel another way. And we have these polarizing viewpoints, and have a discussion about it so we can grow. Because I truly believe that when you kind of sit in your own corner all the time and you just have these viewpoints, how are you really going to learn? You know, when you're just like, this is how I feel, this is me, and you can't actually listen to another person. And that is very, in my opinion, you know, kind of coming back to that Buddha mindset of just like not letting anything stir you. You could just be in this kind of neutral mindset regardless and just know how you feel and just know that everything is connected. And what I always say is like the lowest common denominator is our lowest common denominator on this planet. And the highest common denominator is the highest common denominator. So with that, I would love to express my gratitude for all of you in supporting me up until this point and just taking the time to journey with me. I just appreciate you so much. And I do have a Instagram going for the podcast. It's called Within the Light Pod is the user handle. And the handle for my personal is Ash J. Mose. I hope you've enjoyed this intro to what I'm going to be doing on this platform and my little side story of who I am. And I can't wait to get to know you all and take this journey with you. So until we meet again, have a blessed day. Until we meet again, have a blessed day.